Hey, this is Brendan from Umphrey's McGee. This podcast is part of the Osiris podcast family. Osiris is a growing community of music and culture podcasts connecting music fans with conversation, commentary, and of course, lots of music. Osiris works in partnership with Relix Magazine. Osiris.
Headphones.
It's gonna fuck up my hair.
We learned a valuable lesson by not wearing headphones for a while. If you're doing this, you gotta hear yourself.
Otherwise, gotta hear yourself.
Check yourself. You gotta smell yourself? Shouldn't smell yourself, should you?
You're not supposed to do that. I smell myself all the time. I think everybody smells themselves. How else do you know how you smell?
I smell myself.
Hey now, No Simple Road family. Welcome back to another fabulous, magical, mystical episode down No Simple Road. I gotta tell you guys something. So, we just got back from High Sierra Music Festival.
Yeah.
Last night at like 10 o'clock at night.
I thought it was more like 11. Yeah, it was a little after 11.
Okay, excuse me, guys. I was an hour off. I've been corrected. It was 11.
Okay, good. You're admitting you're wrong?
Yeah.
Okay.
Totally.
Gone.
All right. And it was quite the thing, man. It was really crazy. I think the festival part of it was the least crazy part of the entire trip.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the journey. Like they say,
not about the destination. It's about the journey.
The festival was like a well-oiled machine. We had the most amazing people behind the scenes helping us out with our interviews, making notes to keep people quiet, creating a beautiful space, giving us like the lay of the land, telling us where to go, who to contact. If we needed coffee, here you go. Like, I felt like I was being treated a certain celebrity way. I did. Like Megan, was it Meg? No, Meggers. Meggers, Wendy, and
Deech.
Paige.
And
Deech. And there was another. There was more. But you guys.
Yeah, there's lots.
There was a lot that went into that.
Yeah, Paige, Wendy, Deech. You guys, thank you so much for everything you did for us. You made us feel at home. You treated us like family, and I know that No Simple Road will be back at High Sierra. Yeah, and we got invited back by Wendy, and I know Osiris appreciates it. We appreciate it. We love you guys. I feel like that festival is home for this podcast. It was really cool.
Yeah, we discussed that a lot.
Yep.
While we were there on the way back, it, man, High Sierra Music Festival is, and a lot of the artists said the same, it's one of the best festivals.
Yeah,
the way it's run, where it's located.
I don't remember.
You guys have got
to
check it out if you've never been.
Was it Reed Mathis or was it Neil Cassell that said that? Like, this festival is the best oiled machine out of all of them.
Actually, a lot of the artists alluded to that, that just one enjoyed playing there, being in that environment, like, just special memories. It was a magical place. It was, I don't know, it was just very sweet, even though with all the craziness, it was a sweet place.
And it was so hang loose. We commented several times the entire time you're walking around for 4 days. There are the musicians are hanging out in the crowd.
Yeah.
You're standing next to them, you're getting food by them, they're watching the same shows as you.
When we first get there, we walk right up to
Mahali
from Twiddle, and we were about to do, that's why we were there, like with the whole RV thing, which you'll hear about in a second, but getting back to the whole everybody just being themselves and able, not being harassed for anything, how you look, whether you're a musician or not. It was just a beautiful time.
So we got an RV down in Redding, California, and so that we didn't have to put a bunch of miles on an RV. And the day before, the day before we left, Apple calls me up at work and he's like, dude, we're supposed to pick up the RV at 9 in the morning on Friday. And he's like, dude, RV's not going to be ready till 6:30 at night. And he was all edged out, tripping.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, upset, okay, yeah. So what, man? We'll drive to the festival and do our Twiddle interview and see them play, and then we'll drive down to Reading. Like, fuck it. Who cares? Well, that sounded great sitting in my cube at work, but the reality of what actually happened, holy shit, man. That was a long fucking drive down to High Sierra, and then, so you gotta understand the
you gotta put a map up.
The fucking festival itself is a maze, right? It's a giant maze if you haven't been there and don't know your way around. And we hadn't confirmed with Twiddle yet, and we hadn't heard from their manager on like a firm time and that they were gonna be at a certain place. It was kind of still up in the air. And so I get there and find out where we're supposed to be, and we're just like walking through, not knowing where we're going. I walked right up to Mahali. Like, I see him standing outside, and I was like, oh shit, there's Mahali right there. I'm going over there. So I walked up, I introduced myself. I'm like, hey man, we're supposed to interview you guys at 2:00. And he's just like, yeah, all right, come to our green room. Like, holy shit, it already started. We just got here, and the magic is happening.
Straight to work.
Yeah, wait, straight to work.
I want to back up for 1 second. We're kind of doing the timeline. We got to mention the fact that when we were going, if we would have gone down the I-5, it would have been a lot shorter time and distance. But there was a forest fire that leaped I-5 and they shut it down. So it ended up being awesome. We went the other way through Klamath Falls.
And I posted pictures of that.
Beautiful.
Stuff. Yeah. It was, sorry. It was really... No, it's fine.
I just had to mention the forest fire. We can't just leap over
that. Yeah, we really can't.
And on the way back...
Yeah, we'll talk about that when we get...
Tell them, dude. It's crazy.
Well, while on the way back, I'll make it real quick. Was we were driving back. Aaron and Melanie were both asleep at this point. I'm driving by between Mount Shasta and Ashland, Oregon, and that's where all the fires were. And it was like about 10 miles of all burned. You could see off in the hills. It was still smoking. They were still fighting the fire off in the distance. And it was just weird. Like every off ramp, probably about 5 or 6 of them, there was up the top a highway patrol and military Hummers with like a 50 caliber on top just standing there blocking the exits. And I thought that was weird.
Not to go down a conspiracy highway, but I'm going to do it.
No.
Why the fuck do you need a Humvee with a 50 cal at an exit for a forest fire, man?
Point is, you don't.
Okay. Well, you know, there's a firefighter out there that knows why.
Yeah, if anybody maybe out there knows
there was
why,
because
that seems a little bit excessive to me. I mean, I don't see crowds of people running off the freeway to go run into the fucking forest fire, and you need to machine gun them down.
Well, Oregon is weird. Portland's weird, but keep it so weird. Is Oregon. We yeah. love that.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's that.
So we get to the festival. We find Mahali. Boom. Right into the green room with the guys from Twiddle and do an interview. And it was... rad. I mean,
that's it, rad.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Whatever celestial beings are controlling the universe were on our side that day.
So, yes.
A while back, like before we started really interviewing a lot of bands or musicians or whatever, like I was like, that'd be so cool if we got to like interview them like before or like after their concert to like see how they were, you know? And I had a realization while I was sitting in there, like, this is exactly what we're doing. Sitting literally right behind the stage in a little what do you call it? Like a little
trailer.
House.
A little portable
little
trailer.
And it had little ice chest with drinks. And we all sat in a little circle and talked about some really heavy shit. And really, like, my favorite of the whole entire festival was their performance. The first song, their performance. Like, that was amazing to me. I'd never seen Twiddle live, and I really never really got into them. I heard them a million times with the guys, but like that after talking to him, after hearing his story, and he's
all
gonna,
of their stories.
Yeah, all of their stories. But he's gonna have a baby soon, and just that sharing that, you know, the whole thing about being a grandparent. It was just like a really amazing feeling to have, and then they blow the fucking trees off the sky.
Yeah, and they were so welcoming and amazing. Mahali, Ryan,
Brooke.
And
we never said,
come on, Apple, do it. You can do it.
You're gonna kill me. I forgot to ask you, dude. We all were one. Zdenek. Zdenek.
Wow, man.
Yeah, I just slaughtered it.
Wow.
Okay, we should.
Pow.
To be fair, we did not say his name the whole time, but we talked a lot.
Yeah. And you guys are gonna hear that interview here in a few minutes, but it was really special, and they shared a lot with us that they haven't shared with anybody ever. And that's really cool, and we appreciate that. And I am honored that we are the ones that got that from you guys, and that you felt comfortable enough with us to go there and share it. And
yeah,
much love, guys. You guys are fucking awesome. And one of the things that happened at High Sierra and that I experienced doing those interviews, so like that was the only interview we did that day, that we did two the next day and two the day after. And it seemed like there was a theme or a running thread through all of the interviews that we did while we were there from all of the musicians without them knowing it. And it was like one long conversation with one person, but through several people that didn't know each other.
Well, they did know,
but
some of them knew
but
each
they
other.
They didn't know that we were interviewing them.
And what the other people
and what
said.
The other people said.
Mm.
It was very strange to... There's something to be said for putting yourself at a music festival where the energy is the vibration is lifted. There's a
elevated.
Lot of people partying and doing their thing, and music is happening, and people are being creative all over the place. And so there's a feeling in the air when you go to something like that, more than just a concert where it's just a one day band playing. That's it. That's the end of it. There's been, you know, multiple days of ritual happening, and the energy is spun up. And so there's a atmosphere of magic that was there. There's a very like gritty side to all of it. That's kind of grungy and funky.
Well, yeah, you're
earthy, earthy, not
yeah.
a bad, yeah,
no,
like
no,
earthy,
no, not
like
a bad way.
No, I know,
yeah, I
earthy.
Know. But there's a sure an air of magic and something happened talking to those guys, and I realized it maybe in the second interview that we were continuing a conversation that we had started in the car on the way there. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then by the end of all the interviews, I was like, holy shit, this is incredible. So I'm thinking that what you're going to hear once I hit stop is all of the interviews. I do want to highlight each one of the bands individually, but I think it would be better for you guys out there to hear all of it so that you can experience what we did through the 4 days of being at High Sierra Music Festival and hear how this thread of conversation wove itself through different people at different times. And it was magical. It was something special, and I'm really excited for you guys to hear all of it. It was really cool. So we interview Twiddle. We go watch him play. It's like 90 degrees outside. We unslept. Show ends, we get back in the fucking car.
Just say nothing about their performance.
I'm going to let the listeners hear it. They're going to hear part of it. But we get back in the car and drive 3 more hours down to Reading to pick up this RV that was so nice online. Pictures, this beautiful bed and wonderful amenities in it, and it looked brand new. And we couldn't wait to get there, so we would have our camp all hooked up, and then...
Well, it wasn't the motorhome. The motorhome that we rented, somebody else kept for days past, so we got a replacement motorhome that was not
Come on, man.
Wasn't up to snuff.
No, man. Let's be real.
It was mechanically sound. Was about the best thing you could say about it. Dude. Had a good engine, air generator, but it was funky.
It was fucking funky. I walked in there and smelled like shit, and the roof had mold on it, and rats had chewed on the bed, and there was rat shit. It was funky as shit. And at the time, I was like, fuck it. I just want to get to High Sierra and finish what we're doing. I was like making myself have a good attitude about it. And you guys were both like, wow, you sure are handling this well, Aaron.
Apple and I did comment on Aaron's behavior because he was being such a good boy. He was like positive.
Not that he's
pet.
Not, but it's not
Aaron
usual in stressful situations like
one
that.
Of the bunch, generally. Not all the time.
What was that?
I said you're the pessimistic one of the bunch generally, but not all the time.
Okay.
You do. You like get
He's a
like...
doomsday prepper. He's ready for all these things that go wrong. Fucking man of action. Fucking.
I didn't even finish my point. My point was that you were being sweet and you were like trying to de-escalate anything before it happened, and that was and it worked.
You kept me in check. That's a tall order.
As we're driving down the road, it smells like shit. And I'm like, don't say anything. Don't you dare say a word.
Well, right here, I just need to throw in two. I was on good behavior over the weekend because the first day we got there, Friday, I find out with the wristbands they gave us, we had all access. We were able to go backstage anywhere we wanted. First thing I find out is I don't have to buy an $8 beer. They're like, the free beer over there, Sierra Nevada, Lagunitas, help yourself. And it was like... And I was good, wasn't I? Until Sunday night.
Until Sunday.
When we were all done working.
So, it bears mentioning.
And it bodes
well.
Bear mentioning.
It bears
all ye, pay attention.
You guys saw Apple right now with his arm.
And I know you guys out there aren't going to believe this, but this is true. I'm talking to you, Buzz. We did not take any sacraments the whole time we were at High Sierra Music Festival.
Aaron wants a pat on the back, guys.
I do. I was fucking good, man. I worked. I didn't do any drugs. I didn't take any medicine. I didn't take any psychedelics. I smoked pot twice. Three times at High Sierra. That
Three
was it.
Times
and I drank
later.
A beer. I actually drank a beer, and I don't drink beer, and it was delicious.
You did. It was. That was very good. Sierra Nevada Festival.
Fucking yeah, good shit. Non-spawn. Anyway.
Yeah.
We did not do anything. I was so high just from the energy of that place.
Yeah.
I didn't need
anything. Yeah, there was enough people there on sacrament that you could just...
No, everybody was sober as a judge.
Were they?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so stupid.
That one lady in the baggy judge. Lingerie with her butt flap and all that.
She was beautiful.
She was beautiful. It's a beautiful human being. I just think that it we should talk about that. That you can be high without being high. And
we've talked about it many times.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we have. Me and Melanie realize that better than you do a lot of the time, I believe.
Well, it's fine. I like getting out of my head. So, and I admitted that to Melanie last night.
You were like, I said, you...
Like getting high more than all of us.
Like getting high more than all of us. And he was like, no. And I was like, who then? And he was like... You like it a lot, Apple. I was like, stop it. Okay.
He's our pusher.
Yep. You're welcome.
Thank you, baby.
Yeah. So
it was nice to not.
Yeah, it was. It was cool. It was cool to go there and do that and be in that space and just feel it for what it was.
Well, I did. I smoked a lot.
And.
Yeah.
I listened.
She's like fucking Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, she
was.
Dr. Dre and that bitch. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Security asked her to stop like 12 times. They're like, people can't breathe.
But after all that, like Eugene dead and then like a couple days off and then back there, we've seen like 12 concerts in 10 days or something like that. It was crazy.
Way more than 12.
Yeah.
It was way more than 12.
If you count
over actually, we were only there, call it 2.5 days. But I mean, all the bands we walked in and out of, and not whole performances, but
yeah.
I'd say over 20.
Like I said in last week's interview or intro, I think it was last week, it seems like Dead & Company was a year ago. And now we're, you know, already on to Fish at the Gorge and J-Rad and Government Mule and all that. And what a wonderful summer, man, to have the opportunity to go to High Sierra and go to Eugene and do all the stuff that we're doing. And it's because of everybody that's listening right now that we get to do that shit. And
yeah,
I love you guys, man. You're making it possible for us to manifest a life that we have been dreaming about. And I'm grateful to you guys.
I'm really grateful to you guys, too. You changed our entire world.
Or changing.
Yeah, because we're in the process of it still. I grabbed the mic and I forgot what I was going to say.
What happened, Snoop Dogg?
Oh, shit. Don't drop the mic until you say something. Point too,
but you were grateful.
I am grateful, but that's not what it was about.
No, I don't know. Sorry, guys.
Here, Mel, would you like to hit this?
Get my perfect.
That'll bring her right back.
It
around.
Will.
Yeah. So, no sacraments in High Sierra, but an amazing experience. And I got to say that traveling with you guys is one of my favorite things.
It is.
To do.
Aww.
Traveling with you guys is super fucking fun. Apple.
Mel.
Driving back from Reading, so we leave the festival, we drive 3 hours after not sleeping all night, get in the doo-doo limo.
We had woke up at 2:30 in the morning here at our house in Portland on Friday morning to get up there by Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock for the interview. Then after all that, got down to Reading, what was like 8:30 when we got the motor home, started heading back up the hill.
And I'm hallucinating, like, there's like skid marks on the road that were jumping. I'm like, did you see that? Apple's like, yeah,
and
that
I did.
Like an animal. We were totally hallucinating the same shit. And
all thanks to sleep deprivation. No
sacraments. The whole way back,
anything.
I'm like, I'm going to pull over and we're going to sleep. And then we'd pass a turnout spot and I'd be like, that'd be a cool spot to turn out and sleep. And we just keep going. Another one. Oh, that'd be a cool spot to turn out and sleep. And I ended up making up a game. And whoever you are out there that gives the bounties on moths, I ran over or into, or they ran into us, maybe 1,000 moths.
It was a mutual running into.
So I decided there should be a bounty on them, $50 a moth. And after you take a road trip, you could just scrape them off the front of your car and go give them to the bounty guy, and he would pay you in cash.
Yeah.
Right?
And then I'd like to believe that he does something magical with them, like goes and resurrects them and lets them go back out in the world.
He turns
puts
them into capes.
Into
yep.
No, he turns them into capes, and you can buy them at festivals.
Oh, I saw those moth capes. I did.
Yeah. Okay. No. Yeah, we did.
$50.
We did
so
see that.
That happened while we were driving. Every deer that we passed, I didn't see, but Apple did, but the skid marks turned into deer.
Well, you pointed out several deer.
On the way home.
On the way home.
While I was hallucinating driving the RV.
He was seeing other things.
Other, yeah. Fairies and whatever. And so we drove all the way back. I just kept pushing and pushing and pushing past the point of, like, when you know when you're overtired and then the overtired goes away and then you're overtired again?
And again.
And again.
And again.
And again.
On windy mountain roads, and we were giggling the whole time. And I think Melanie has something to say about her giggling.
You can bring it back to the giggling. I was just going to let them know before we even did this whole wake up 2:30 in the morning thing. Sydney was here with her man Adam celebrating her birthday for the 4th of July, so we were all celebrating.
Oh, yeah.
And partying. Before we even got to this festival.
And on the second, Billy Kramer came over and hung out and did an interview with us. And we had a wonderful dinner with him and
his wife.
We had dinner.
We had dessert. We had, like, it was an entire evening and a pretty long interview that's beautiful. That
yeah,
I can't wait for
you guys
to hear.
You guys are going to dig that one. And if you haven't checked him out, check out Billy Kramer on Instagram and buy his album.
Heck yeah, it's only $6. Yep. And it's amazing. So we had so much going on going into this, so it wasn't like we were well rested. And when during some of these interviews and talking to these musicians, I realized what a respect. I had so much more respect for traveling musicians. Like, not even just the beautiful music that they're putting out, but the art of traveling for pay and, like,
being on the road.
Being on the road.
That was the first thing I said to Twiddle. I was like, how do you guys stay healthy?
Yeah.
So who said we're healthy?
Yeah.
Like, yes.
It was, you guys, like, this was a trip of a lifetime in the sense that, like, one of the other, you know, I'm going too far myself, but I just want to say, like, Reed Mathis totally blew my mind and made me feel a different way about life.
And music.
Yeah. Then I didn't even know I wanted to know this information. And then he spit it down in such a delicate and sweet way. And then, like, it just changed me. And so thank you, Reed Mathis, because I'm just grateful.
You know, I said something a few minutes ago, and now I'm thinking better of it. I don't want to put this all out as one episode. I don't. I want these guys to be highlighted.
Yeah, we do need to talk about each one.
So what you're going to end up hearing at the end of this, look, this is testimony that I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. And you guys are hearing it happen right now.
This is testimony that, like,
we're figuring it out.
We're creating it while you are hearing it. We change our mind and invent more shit and create more stuff while you guys are listening. So sorry if we drop a little bit sometimes, or sorry if we fucking hit a home run twice in a row.
She ain't sorry.
I ain't sorry. So sorry, not sorry. Hashtag sorry, not sorry.
This is how we do it.
You guys are coming on our life as close. Na 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 na.
Okay, we've left the rails. So what you're gonna hear first is Twiddle, and this is us fresh off the road.
We're not finishing.
I'm just letting you know.
Okay, no, he's getting back on track. Yeah, we derailed.
This was all the way off in the weeds.
Montel, shout out to Montel Jordan.
Anyway, it's us fresh off the road interviewing Twiddle, and it was very gracious of them to spend the time with us, and we appreciate it. And
yes.
It was a very special interview, and I know you guys are going to dig it. And I want you to be able to immerse yourself in all of the interviews that we did, not just, you know, all of them together. I want them one at a time for you so you can really, really dig it the way we did. Because they didn't all happen at the same time for us. So that's rude.
Yeah. And they can hear them all separately, and then they'll catch what you're talking about.
Yeah.
The theme just throughout
keep that in
them.
Mind, man, because that did happen, and it's weird. It's a strange thing when you go into a situation like that. Like, we've never done anything like that as individuals or a group. And then when you... Typically with me, when magic is happening, I'll catch it afterwards. I'll go, oh, wow, that was a synchronicity, or, you know. But this particular thing, I caught it while it was going on. And then
I think we all did.
Yeah, then it was, the job was to, like, stay in the moment with it. Because then I wanted to, like, step outside and watch it happen. And when I would do that, it would break. And I'm like, oh, shit, I need to stay present in this so that I can continue watching it happen.
You guys, I wrote about in my journal that I bring with me to the concerts and stuff. I wrote about that exact thing that Aaron's talking about, was staying in the moment. It came to me so, like, I was just, like, reflecting on all the stuff. Like, I just told you guys, like, Sid was here right before that. But then, like, right before that, my uncle was here. And then right before that, like, Hunter was here. So, like, we just kind of had, like, a nonstop. And so I was, like, reflecting while the guys were driving. And I just realized, like, if you aren't present in your conversations, because that's what we were doing, then you're missing out on actual life. Like, real life happening right then and there. You're missing it. And that's what these guys, like... Right at that moment, like, from a fan perspective, holy shit, we're interviewing Twiddle. Oh my God. And then from, like, our, like, you know, we have to be grown-ups, we're like, oh, very nice to meet you, Molly. Like, yeah, that's great. You know? And then we sit down and we're like, oh, whatever. Like, be silly and cool in ourselves. Like, we were, like, evolving as it was happening. No, there was no script. There was no nothing that we could even pretend to be like. And I don't know.
You know, it's funny because in the jam, I'm doing air quotes with my fingers, guys, in the jam band and festival communities, like, certain things can become passé or trite when you talk about it. Being in the moment is one of those things that gets said a lot, but you don't really think about what it means a lot of the time. I didn't.
I want to read my thing at the end of the show.
I didn't really think about that.
I do.
And I'll tell you, man, there's an art to it. There is a real art to paying attention to what's going on around you and not sitting there listening to somebody thinking about the next thing you're going to say, but actually thinking and paying attention to what they're saying. And
I think it's not thinking, but right?
It's active listening.
Like, it's coming at you. You're feeling it.
And when you do that, something happens. I felt it happen several times during the week. Was I felt something open up in me in that space where I can't put my finger on it, but my hand is on my heart. Like, I felt it open. Like, I felt that thing happen. And when that would go down, you feel connected to the person that you're talking to. And then the conversation
changes
and goes to another level. And it becomes more than the everyday.
I know exactly what you're talking about. You're explaining it perfectly.
It was cool to witness it happening to me.
It's almost like the moment where you know that the drugs hit it, like, mm-hmm. settled in.
Oh,
the
sacrament. I'm high now.
Yep. Like, oh, this is it now. I can't pretend like, oh no, I didn't take enough. Like, no, it's happening. And that's exactly what happened when I felt it first with our first interview with the guys. Like, with Ryan had such a, like, passion, and like, he was like, his playing and his passion and what he was talking about things. And that's what one thing I noticed about all these musicians, like, they, like, speak with their hands and they're, like, boisterous. And even if they're soft spoken, you still, there's a something that grabs you in.
And they're all of them too are, like, so tight. They're such a tight family of people. They all, most of them know of each other, played with each other, and they're so, like, with Twiddle, you could feel they're like four
you
brothers.
Could feel the bond.
There's some deep roots there. They don't, you know, they go back. There's,
well, I mean, just think about it, man. Just if you put it in the context of us, it's the same thing. And that was another thing that I was tripping on this weekend, like the similarities between doing the show and playing music and being on the road and all that stuff. Like, we're in a little car traveling together, smelling each other's farts and, you know, whatever. After a while, you're either going to not do that anymore or you're going to be super fucking close. And
yeah,
maybe that's the thing. Maybe that's the thing that people talk about about the show, that they feel. Or like Jaden calling this the hippie vortex. That's the thing. It's the closeness. And that's what we feel when people are playing music, is their bond and that connection and them speaking that language of music to each other in a very fluent way that they have. It's like we get to listen in on a secret conversation that they have, or an inside joke that they're telling each other.
And Felix, not in this group, Felix from Jazz's Fish, wait till you guys hear that interview. He touched on the language of music and likened it to, like, you know, when you have friends and you kind of start, like, you can complete each other's sentences and then you have inside jokes. He's like, that's what playing music is like with your brothers. Like, you know, you kind of get to know each other's sense of humor or language, and then you
the
can,
language.
Like, yeah,
that's what I was gonna say. All of them said that. Every musician we talked to talked about how music is a language, and that's they're, you know, talking to each other, talking
and
to us
through music.
Yeah, healing, music being a healing force, and all kinds of really powerful stuff that it has always been in the back of my head, and I haven't really been able to articulate it. And talking to these guys really brought it out and made it accessible to me in my head in a way that I didn't understand music before, that I understand it differently now. And I know that you guys out there listening are going to get it too, the same way we did. And that's one of the things, like, when I was driving home and it was quiet in the car, I was so excited to get home and get this shit into my computer and like start putting it together. Like, I can't wait for them to fucking hear this stuff, man. I can't believe this just happened. And then,
for us to hear it again, we still have to go back through and hear these ourselves.
Are hearing this raw. We haven't heard any of it back. Played a couple little clips.
To make sure it sounded good, but it sounds amazing.
We haven't
heard
it either, and so like I am excited to hear what happened to Aaron, Melanie, and Apple on this trip.
Oh, I want to throw something in too, because Aaron set a new standard for oh shit moments at this festival. God. We had interviewed Neil. Twiddle, we had interviewed Jazz's Fish, we had interviewed Reed. We had interviewed Russ Liquid Test, and we were getting all set up, ready to go, getting ready to interview
Neil from CRB.
And Aaron's looking through the backpack, and all of a sudden does the oh shit moment, looks at me and goes, oh shit, where's the recorder, dude? So there's already four interviews in the bag that were incredible. And I wanted to get mad at him, but I know he was about to have a heart attack also. I immediately was like, shit. I went running through this big warehouse, Funkin' Jam House, where they let us do this interview. And it was like running down, like in a nightmare, where the hallway just keeps on going, like in The Shining. And my heart's fucking pounding. I'm lightheaded. I'm like, oh my God, no. That would have, I mean, we would live, but oh my God, that would have been catastrophic.
I would have continued doing the podcast.
I'm almost to the door, getting ready to go out, all fucking dizzy, and hear Aaron go, I found it. And my initial reaction, like I do something, was like, motherfucker. And I was like,
dude,
oh,
it was wrapped up
oh
in
my
a
God.
Shirt on the floor. I didn't put it there.
Anyway, that's the new standard for oh shit moments so far. And the oh shit, I lost the file. But it was found. And we
hashtag
continue.
Thank God.
Yep.
Or whatever.
Thank you.
Yeah, to lose all that would have sucked. So, a lot of beautiful stuff, guys. And I'm super stoked that we got the opportunity to do it. And like I said earlier, it's because of all of you guys out there. So thanks, man. Thanks for helping us materialize our dreams and get to share them with you. And I really do love this No Simple Road family, man. You guys are fucking amazing human beings. And
I love you guys.
You're changing
too.
Our lives. And I hope that, and I know that we're doing it with you. It's happening to all of us. So, you know, let's do it together, man. Fuck it.
What can I say? One thing that I was amazed. We were reading one of those letters on the road, and
about eating puke.
Well, you guys are gonna hear it. Aaron will play it, but he said that he's never listened to the show. Wait, is that the same guy? Yeah, he's never listened to the show, but he follows us on Instagram, and that like blew my mind.
Really?
Yeah, because I was like, why would anybody even call this number if they don't
just from following us on Instagram and see?
I don't know. I just got so confused of like I guess it was like your revelation with John Mayer. Like John Mayer brought somebody to the Grateful Dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it was like
Instagram brought them to
somebody.
No Simple Road.
Yeah. So
dude,
I don't know,
listen,
like,
listen,
I don't even
listen
know
to the podcast.
About that, but yeah, listen, you can listen or not. He was still really cool and part of the community because he sent us a really strange, weird story.
Yeah, man. Don't drink a lot of Robitussin. Let's just say that.
Tussin.
Yeah.
Tussin. Spray some Tussin.
Tussin.
Shout out, Sarah.
So, let's see. Follow us on Instagram. Hey, that's a good segue. At No Simple Road. Facebook at No Simple Road. Head over to www.nosimpleroad.com for news, weather, information, and status updates of No Simple Road. That's where you can get all the past episodes, and the new episodes are also on Apple Podcasts. You guys are listening to us. You already know that shit. You go over to the family tab and sign up for the newsletter there, and that's where you'll get all the inside information, the scoop on what's going on. I'll run stuff by you and let you know what's going on. You have like first dibs on merch over there and stuff like that. You can click on the merch tab. Speaking of merch, And that's where we got shirts and pins and stickers and all that fun stuff.
You guys, our shirts and pins are so cute, especially our pins.
Yeah.
We gave a few stickers to some of the bands that we interviewed, so we hope that we were on a couple guitar cases or keyboard cases or whatever.
All I know is our sticker is on the road cases of the CRB.
Yep. Neil said, when I handed him the stickers, he said, I'm going to slap this on my case.
Oh, man. That makes my heart sick.
Ah, thank you, Neil.
Yeah.
That was cool.
So, yeah, that's the merch tab at No Simple Road. Head over to patreon.com/No Simple Road. So, here's the deal. That's how this game works. And we're playing it. And we're family. So, we're asking you guys to help us out. That's how we pay for everything that we need to do over here at the show. And, you know, a buck a month is a quarter an episode, guys. And it's not very much, but it means a lot. So head over there, patreon.com/No Simple Road. And also, 5-star reviews on iTunes, guys. That's huge. That's a way you can support the show without spending a single dime. Take a minute, point your finger, stick it on your phone, search the show, leave us a 5-star review, tell us that you love us or not, just leave us 5 stars. And that way other people can find out about the show and we go up in the rankings and all that fun stuff. And then we show up on that, you know, new and noteworthy and all that stuff on
recommended.
Yeah. It makes us more relevant in the algorithm.
It's got to be relevant.
So cool.
We're
algorithms
putting
and
ourselves
relevance.
In a box.
No, we're not. I'm stoned, and that makes no sense. I'm not going in a box.
Not going in a box. Baby's not going in the corner.
No.
Ain't nothing.
No.
I want to see Dirty Dancing.
Oh, my gosh, guys. Anyway, so that's the stuff. Again, everybody at High Sierra, thank you so much for taking such wonderful care of us and making us part of the family.
Oh, thank you, guys. And thank you to Quincy.
I just got to back up for a second. That just coming up to the Dirty Dancing. Now all of a sudden that song's in my head, like that going out of this soundtrack. I had the time of my life.
And I owe it all to you.
Yes, we owe all to High Sierra Music Festival.
I just got
to
say, you know, drove all night. Almost to the festival, like 30 miles from the festival. We're in the fucking woods. I have to pee. There's nowhere to stop.
I forgot about this.
Totally out of my mind, tired. I'm like, fuck it, I gotta pull over. I'm gonna piss in the car. I get up, I pull over the side of the road, step out of the car. There's a little hill by a lake. I'm like, oh, it's a beautiful spot. I'm gonna go pee here.
It was a beautiful spot.
I'm gonna bring Melanie a pine cone. I'm gonna go pee. Everything's gonna be great. Start walking down the hill, fucking slipped, fell right on my back, dude.
And I saw it. I saw the whole thing.
I missed it. Melanie scared the shit out of me all, so I'm laying back, and Melanie goes, oh my God, he fell! And I looked. I sat up and looked, and he was gone. You couldn't see him. I thought he fell, like, I didn't know how far it was. There was a lake.
Brought the pine cone back. It was so stabby. It hurt.
Through all that, he did bring Melanie back a pine cone because he's a sweetie.
I don't have it anymore.
Yeah, man. Step out of the car, 5 steps, and fucking zip, boom, right on my ass. Jacked my arm all up, hurt my back, and I'm like, I'm going to have a positive attitude. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it.
And he did.
He did.
I didn't know how bad he was hurt until he mentioned it a couple times. I looked at his arm when we got the... I was like, what the fuck happened there? It looked like a cat attacked him. And he was like, I fucking fell, dude. But he wasn't...
Totally busted my ass. I'm walking back to the car. I'm like, I'm not going to bring everybody down. Fucking wind knocked out of me. I'm like... They're like... did you guys see that? No, I was like, yeah, are you okay? I was like, yes, yes, we
just
go.
I'm glad somebody saw
moving
that.
On.
Jesus. Oh, my God.
It hurts so bad. It was not fair. Oh, I love you, universe. You have
but
a
you
really
got
a weird sense of humor.
And that's a good point right there that was just made. You got to laugh at things. No matter, you know, dude, you got to laugh.
At that point.
You guys are...
That was like a make or break moment.
Think about, like, I'm fucking with Abbott and Costello.
Abbott!
between Apple throwing a baby fit in the back seat, him slipping.
Tell him about the baby fit.
Dude, first of all, when Apple turns to his other Apple side, when he turns to James or whoever takes over.
That's my middle name. That's Michael. Michael.
Yeah, Michael. Michael's
a dick.
When he turns into Michael, he also has this like bad, naughty little boy part in him. And he was just so ornery because it was a fucking long drive. And it was uncomfortable.
He was fussy.
He was overtired, fussy.
He was totally fussy.
And my mom was like, kid when I was bad too. But she'd say Jimmy Mike when I was acting bad. Oh, Jimmy Mike!
I'm doing that from now on.
Jimmy Mike! And I'd be like,
when
oh,
you wake
shit.
Up in the morning and you're that one you're dude that's yourself. Like, fucking bitch. I'm going to be like, what up, Jimmy Mike? Anyway, oh, I fell on my ass, guys. I'm sorry. I don't know what made me bring that up. I was going through like 5-star
reviews.
Well,
I feel like you're
Patreon.
Cutting it short because there's so many moments that happened during this thing. Well, we
have 4 more interviews to
do. We're going to be talking a little bit more. This is going to be a longer intro than all the others, maybe. I like the idea of switching it back to each of these bands, and then we could post pictures. I took picture video the whole time of every performance, every interview. We could put those up with the separate interviews.
So guys, we love you and I hope you guys enjoy this as much as we did, and I'm sure you will. I think you'll dig it.
And
what
a huge humongo shout out to Osiris.
Bam. Yes.
Oh siggity Cyrus.
Yeah, we, this couldn't have happened.
We are in the loop and
yeah, we are.
Thank you so much, Osiris. Like, you literally made our dreams come true.
And make us feel like part of the family.
For real.
And even for trusting us and being our partner.
Yeah, believing in us.
And believing in us, guys. That's huge. And Seth from Inside Out with Turner and Seth, if you guys haven't heard that podcast, go over there and listen to them right now. They're awesome and do amazing interviews. And they covered all of Sweetwater 420 and go back and listen to their interviews with Spafford and all the cool shit they did over there. That's kind of where I got started formulating the idea for this when that went down, and Seth really helped us out, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that, Seth. So thank you, man. Oh, RJ and Tom, you guys are awesome.
I'm sorry.
What, Apple?
Okay, this last one from me.
What?
This is the last one from me. No, I have to give a special shout out. We've shouted him out before to Wolfman Whiskers. Dude. I ordered the orange blossom is the one I had with me.
He's talking about Beard Balm.
Beard Balm. He makes the shit. Go on Instagram, Wolfman Whiskers. Dude, you saved my weekend. When you have a beard and you're up at a festival and it's gotten dirty and you've been pulling on it all, you know, you're the same thing. It gets like a Brillo pad. Mm-hmm. I just need to wash my beard and put more balm on. Mm-hmm. And that helped every time it was all silking in. Just, thank you, dude. You're making an amazing thing for us bearded dudes.
Yeah, man. Wolfman Whiskers on Instagram is the shit. I said it a few episodes ago. He's not a sponsor of the show. He's just another fellow music lover head. And he fucking found the secret alchemical mixture that gets molecular bonding done in your beard follicles. I don't know what the fuck he did. I don't know how he put it together, because I've tried every goddamn thing on the planet. We've spent hundreds of dollars on shit.
Yeah.
That's not hard to do these days.
I'm just saying, this is the first and only thing I've ever had that stopped my beard from breaking. It's actually growing.
And mine's growing again, too. Years.
So enough about me, anyway. Us and our face hairs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you want to know what I want to give one more shout out to? No.
Killing them out there. They're like, fuck, get to the interview already.
You know what? If they were like that, they wouldn't be listening to the show. So sorry, guys. You got to have one more minute, because none of this would have been possible without my sister. She stayed behind watched the house and Darwin. And
bullshit.
We came home to, it looked like we just like moved in and put all our stuff in.
It looked like we hired a maid.
It was amazing. And she was so sweet and sent us videos of Darwin. And it was
I just wanted to say thank you, because knowing that somebody else has got your crib and your pad while you're gone and you can come home to a clean house, like, that is, it makes the entire trip.
And especially your dog.
Yeah.
To have somebody with...
I don't know about you guys out there, man, but, like, I missed my bed when I'm not here.
I love you, sister.
I love you, Jess. Thank you, Moise.
Love you, Jesse.
I miss my bed when I'm not here. I miss our coffee machine when I'm not here. You know, the comforts of home stuff.
He has a love affair with the coffee machine.
Yes, he does. I fucking love that coffee machine. Anyway, I really miss Darwin when we're not here, man. Like, it's sad. I love this dog. He's so cool. He is so rad. But that doesn't have anything to do with Twiddle or High Sierra Music Fest or anything. So... All right, guys, I think we're to the end of the intro, and I really do hope you guys enjoy this as much as we did doing it, and we love you. So, finally, after 49 minutes, without further ado, we give you Twiddle.
This is pretty sweet.
Yeah, man.
Look at this. They give you a little trailer with grapes and shit. Nice.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Leather of grapes. Very essentially.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feed them to the mom. Very sensual.
Thank you, brother.
Well, thank you. Let you guys do your thing.
Thank you.
Here, wait. You want to take this one?
Here, it's the next squat.
It's the next to me, man. Squat.
We know each other since we're 13. You can sit on my lap.
So what's happening, guys? Wow. I gotta tell you, that was a trip. This whole thing was a trip. Like, we didn't know where to go.
Yeah.
And I'm just fucking wandering around, and I'm like, this is fucking huge. There's no way I'm gonna find him. Walk right over to you. Like,
yeah, walk out the shit store and see you.
Just now, yeah. Walk right. Oh, there he is, right there. He's waiting for me. So thanks for waiting, man. I appreciate that.
Universe.
Yeah. So we were driving down here today, and like, last weekend we were at Eugene for Dead & Company.
Nice.
And, you know, a few days in between, I got to sleep in my own bed in between. Now we're here.
Right.
Like, we're talking in the car, and I'm like, we're going to ask them about, you know, what I want to know, how do you fucking stay healthy, man? Because you guys are like stuff. One coast to the other, back and forth with like just a couple days in between. Like, how do you do it?
That's the age of battle. I wouldn't say we're all healthy.
Okay, alive.
Well, Gub is probably the healthiest of us all. He exercises a lot. Yeah. Tour is a grind. What we do is grind. And I think we're all starting to figure out how to do it better and try to take care of ourselves more.
Right.
Up until the last year or two, we were still just, you know, partying like a
like a rock star.
We were just doing our thing, but it catches up to you eventually.
I just vitamins, man.
Right?
I gotta say, like, I have a whole collection. And,
It's funny, we were leaving today and I got like this big bag of vitamin C powder and all these vitamins, and I'm like, I feel fucking old all of a sudden. Oh my shit.
You're gonna live for longer.
You know, it's more like the non-sleep kind of where I'm sitting all the time. Like, today we have to do the show, and then we're...
You're good?
Today we're doing the show, and we're going straight to the airport after to catch a red-eye to Boston. We get into Boston at 11 a.m. tomorrow, East Coast. I have to drive straight to Levitate to do sound check and then play in Marshfield. So it's... Yeah, that's good. This is going to be over 24 hours, no sleep, no nothing. We're just going to be flying, sitting and waiting.
How are you still kicking ass?
Yeah.
Because there's no other option.
That's all we do. And it's the age-old thing. Like, once you get on stage, it just, that all fades
away. Yeah, you can see feeling really tired and ready to pass out. As soon as you start playing, your brain starts working and you wake up. You're just all of a sudden.
Never a problem once we're on stage. It's always the little time before where we're all just dead and
waiting for that.
It's all the bullshit beforehand. But like, once we're there and shit's on stage and we're relaxed, like once we get to Levitate tomorrow, we'll feel better.
Yeah.
Like, we'll feel good about it. You know what I mean? Like, but the sitting in the airport is gonna suck.
And
then you guys turn around and come straight back out here to the West Coast or in our neck of the Portland Country Fair.
How's it going, man?
Nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you. We're flying more this month than I think we it's close succession than we ever have, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, those airplane miles, I'll tell you what.
When you don't have to work, you're going somewhere.
But then we're taking a lot of, most of August off, though.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And that's what we have to do for ourselves, whether it's us working on other, you know, musical endeavors or just being with family and doing whatever. I mean, it's important for us to take time off. That's why we don't let me go like on tour. We try to keep it to at least under a month, if not like 3 weeks.
Right.
For our own sanity.
3 week stretches, yeah. With like 2 weeks at home. And then
for our sanity and our health.
Morale.
Yeah. Morale and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, is that a problem, the morale thing? Like, when you guys are all tired and strung out and hanging out on...
We've been together forever, so it's not like... we all have our things, and everybody knows when to give people space and to, like, let them have their moment or whatever. But
right.
It's a marriage.
We're
pretty jolly most of the time. It's very rare that we're, like, at each other's throats.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always the music side of it.
They said, what would they say?
Well, they were saying that because, like, it's... You're in a relationship with each other.
So it doesn't matter if you've got wives, men, whatever, on the backside. You guys are in a relationship with each other.
Yeah.
And figuring out how to be on no sleep, perform on point together, and still, like, be cordial to each other. Like,
yeah. Well, it's like you get through all that with each other. So there's this, like, sense of, like, we did all this together. So there's really not much we can't do. I mean, I definitely see these guys way more than I see my wife and daughter.
For
sure.
I was just gonna say congratulations on your success, man. We've been listening to you for a while, and it was like one of those things. It was like, those boys are gonna be a hit someday. We know that they're gonna be big someday. And you guys are, I mean,
blowing
your
up.
Schedule this year, and then playing a Terrapin with Phil. And I just gotta throw in, we saw Phil. We had tickets for Phil at Crystal Ballroom in Portland back in February. And we had those tickets way ahead of time, and then you guys announced you were playing at Roseland Theater.
Fuck.
We're like, what the
same fucking night?
And then at the end of it, you came on stage and you did Fire on the Mountain with them. Yeah. I shit my pants. I was like, thank God, we got to see at least some.
Yeah, it was like a little girl, man. It was
amazing. It was amazing. Thank you for that.
I at the Portland show, we finished early, I jetted over to the Crystal Bar and caught the last rhythm.
You walked out on stage and I was like, hey, here's your boy, man.
Yeah, and I was dancing and not paying attention. I was like...
That was fun. That was like one of the first times where there was no preparation. I literally was just there, standing there, and they all walked off after the last song. And I still at that point didn't even know what I was going to do.
Oh, shit.
And Phil just goes, you're going to lead this one. And Graham kind of like... Graham is always, like, right there to kind of, if I need to have any questions.
Right.
Okay, what does that mean?
Translate.
And Graham's always like, yo, just do it reggae. I'm like, no fucking way, bro. Am I going to start the Star of the Mountain reggae? He's like, it'll be hilarious. I'm like, no. So they did it.
Awesome.
The band, like, kind of went into it little
was
bit.
Fucking rad.
And I was like, no.
please stop.
I was like, just play it regular.
So playing all the festivals... And then playing gigs like that, where it's a smaller crowd. I mean, obviously there's a difference in the energy in a smaller room where they're just there to see you guys as opposed to a festival. Do you have a preference to where you guys are playing?
I like doing our own shows. Festivals are a beautiful thing because you're playing in front of a new crowd almost every time, or at least a lot of it is a new crowd.
Right.
So a lot of our fans found us at festival sets. You know, I don't know how many... people come up to us, like, I saw you at Bonner, I saw you at summer camp, you know, I saw you at Hangtown, or whatever it's going to be. So, like, that, we definitely hear that a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
So, going way back, you started your writing when you were in high school?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, what was the thing that got you going? I mean, I play guitar, but I didn't fucking push it and get there. Like, what was the thing that drove you to keep going, man?
I don't know, I was just trying to, like, write. I've been writing songs since I was, like, 14, so the songs that happened in high school were because I was listening to String Cheese and Fish and all these other bands, and that's where, like, that side of it sort of came into, and that was just something I really wanted to do. I've always said, like, I thought about this band, like, when I was, you know, before I even knew any of these guys, but, like, it just sort of clicked, like, I met Ryan, we started playing some of these songs. He was like, hey, man, these are good. But we also wrote, like, in that first month, like, I had a few songs, but we wrote a lot, like, kind of that are still.
He came to college with no intention of going to college other than to find a band.
Yeah. So he went to college to start a rock band.
That was his plan. I met him the first day, and he was like, yeah, I'm just here to find a band. And I'm like, crazy, man. It's $30,000 a semester. What do you mean? We ended up rooming, and, you know, together, and I'd wake him up for class. He's like, no, I'm just going to write music today. He's just always confident, about it. We'd wake and bake, smoke, you know, just and find him in the dorm. He'd be writing music, and I was like, some confidence, dude.
Like, I didn't fail any classes, though.
You just didn't go.
The first semester. The second semester, I didn't go to any classes.
You just, yes. You gave us, I think he paid for a second.
I tried to get out of the housing thing, and they were like, no, you're going to pay for the year. So I was like, oh, cool. So I'm just going to live in the dorms this semester because I paid for it.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't pay for it. Student loans paid for it. But I was able to pay my student loans off quick because I only went for 2 semesters. So I didn't really have too bad of a fucking hit there.
So this has been the only rendition of the band? Nobody's like left and
we
came back?
We had a different bass player early on, but it was like really for the first kind of 2 years of the band, and he just wanted to do other things, go to college and play upright jazz bass and stuff.
And I was in the crowd dancing and loving it.
Wait a minute.
I was a fan before I was in the band.
Really?
Right.
Yeah. I'm 4 years younger than these guys, so I was in high school when I met them.
Yeah,
and
they were in college.
The
band when
there's
kid,
video.
They had me join the band.
Video of him, like, as a young 15-year-old just, like, fucking out in our crowd.
Woods out and everything.
Really?
I'll tag that into the show notes.
Moves out.
Wait, so then how did that happen? So they, like, approached you?
My friend said I look like the bass player, and they were like, you should probably check out the band. They think you'd like them. And then I was like, I love them immediately. You know, there's 4 tracks they had. Because I couldn't buy a CD at the time. I didn't have any money.
Yeah, we had one show at Jake's Place or whatever. Or what was it?
Yeah,
he had friends that were like, this kid is so sick at bass.
Yeah, I never told him anything.
He's so sick. Like, they just, every time they were at a show, they would point out and be like, he's so good at bass. So when our bass player left and we were like trying to, stuck in my brain, like, what about that kid that
everybody says is so fucking
so
awesome?
We went on MySpace to find his band.
Stu, and the only thing that really stuck out about the band was his bass playing. And I was like, okay. So we called him up. We're like, can you come to the house to rehearse at a gig? The bass player, bass player is filling in. Got in a fight with Ryan, left the gig. So left, he says,
we got a 3-piece.
No,
yo, my bass player just left. You want to come up and jam sometime?
And you're like,
I might be able to pull that off. I was on a date with a girl and I was like, oh yeah, sure, yeah, whatever, you know, talk to you later. Hang up the phone, and then I'm just like, yeah, driving the car, almost driving out the road. She's like, what the hell happened? I'm like, oh, you're still here.
Yeah. Open the door, shut her out.
She rolls.
See ya.
I got shit to do.
Wow.
Bitch, I got you right.
But like, yeah, he was a kid. I mean, we used to do it. We did like New York City and Boston or whatever, and then he'd come sleep in the spare bed in my room at our like college house for like 3 hours, and his alarm would be going off, and I'm like, dude, you gotta shut that thing off.
To go back
like,
to school.
He's like, I have to go. I'm like, where are you going? He's like, high school, dude. High school. I'm like,
did you finish?
Yeah. It really didn't make it more difficult. I was so excited that like the lack of sleep didn't matter. You know, I still fall asleep through math class, but I was fine with math. I did
the same thing too, actually, because these two guys were freshmen in college, and I was a senior in high school.
He was still in high school when we found him too.
And,
we literally like searched,
cherry picked the high schools for the best musicians.
We had auditions and everything.
And they met me through our first bass player because I went to school with him.
And we're still really good friends. Yeah.
Right.
And we moved into a house together, and I still had, I think, like 4 or 5 months left.
Yeah, you moved into our, like,
yeah, I think
house.
I had like 4 or 5 months left in high school, and I had the money and everything. I mean, my home life was fine. I just had the money, and I was 18, and I was like, peace. I'm moving like 25 minutes out of town, and I still made it to school and everything else. But, you know, these guys opened my eyes to a lot of things, and we had an awesome time and lived together and wrote music.
It's a well-deserved snicker.
Yeah, there were a lot of years that we all lived together.
I did. No, I lived with Brooke.
So we had like a house in the wood, it's like 100 acres of mountain and property, and the basement was just like the throwdown jam room. We just would throw parties and play.
These young college kids just have a beautiful.
Dude, we had a waterfall. You should have seen the house. We had a waterfall.
It was like a farmhouse,
but you know, we were able to. I mean, we didn't fucking care. It was like our first house.
If anything was better than what we were
eating. And there's a pool table there.
Every night though was jamming. Like, go to the basement. Let's practice. Right.
It was good. It was good for the early years to like figure it out.
So do you think that's like having that soup, that secret sauce, is kind of what did it? Like, being able to do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, our sound is sort of just the way we naturally play. Like,
when that's what you have to do.
Yeah. I just sort of float around a lot of notes, and these guys hold it down.
It's definitely
moving
music, you know? Yeah. It really is. Like, we were listening to it on the way here, and I was like, I could just see myself, like, on the river, just chilling, like, greasing my hair.
Yeah.
Like,
it's very uplifting. Up in Oregon, we both work in the cannabis industry, and nice. Your guys' music's the best for trimming. Yeah. And I'm sitting there trimming a big thing, and it's like, everybody will be like, what are you listening to? I'm like, twiddle.
Shut up.
That's what I'm doing, I'm twiddling.
I got to admit, though, those early years, though, and Eagle Rock, just being in the surrounding, the environment of it,
right.
Being in the woods, you know, and, you know, back then I was taking acid, just writing music.
There's a lake right across
the
street.
There's a lake. It was
like
just
really, really lent itself to some good stuff.
Yeah, lot of good music came out of those days, and it still does, but, like, that was just, you could just climb the cliff and get clarity and look out at the lake and the sunset and bring some instruments up there and just come up with some music.
That's fucking beautiful.
Just, yeah.
Mindset's just right.
It's just
right. Everywhere.
No distraction, quiet birds, just good stuff. Crickets. So, you know, like, it's
so what's the process now?
So now we all, when we get off tour, we're like, weep, 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 weep.
Yeah.
Later. Like, well, because, like, we don't see, when we go home, we all go to our, I mean, we still see each other when we're, like, if we're going to have like, a birthday party, really it's just the band and our girls and whatever are there, like close friends. So, like, when it comes down to just like doing stuff together, we still do it. But for the most part, you know, I go home with my wife, he goes home to his wife, his girl. Like, we kind of just go and do our thing. I tour too much, I play too much. Like, I need to stop doing that as much.
Right? Thank you.
And, like, take some time.
You're here first.
That, yeah, that's wow. That's a.
Well, and as far as songwriting goes, we just all been kind of doing, I mean, we get ideas and stuff and then come together for the last. For Plump 2, we got back to kind of the old days where we've really kind of got in and got together, and a lot of the stuff came out in the studio itself.
Yeah, it was great.
You know, there are ideas, and then we just took them and flew with it, and
whittle it down until it makes sense.
Like,
and it wasn't even that difficult, really. It was.
Yeah, I think we're more into like the collaborative writing now. Whereas before, it was like you write a song, bring it to the band, you write a song.
But we still do that as well.
We do. Yeah, we bring whatever. But I had more fun just doing it collab like together. To me, that would sort of produce sort of our earlier sound and also just kind of a little bit more back to our roots. Like,
it makes something a lot more unique than us just bringing one idea to it.
Yeah.
It's like when we all put it together because we all have different backgrounds. That's what makes it really unique.
That's why I liked Orlando's, because we got together at Mickey's house, and Mickey's like, I'm going to write the first part, Ryan write the second part, Snack write the third part, or something like that, and we just kept it, and, you know, broke, you know, it all, like, just one, and then it all comes together. It's like, it's a complete collaboration.
Right.
You know?
So, I mean, you're living in that house, and you got the lake, and you're taking acid, hanging out, doing your thing. Like,
yeah.
There's obviously a lot of years between now and then, right?
Yeah, it hasn't always been roses and, like, cherries. We've had some, like, you know, we all did the classic, well, two of us did the classic rock and roll deep in the drugs, got real fucked up for a few years.
You and I have some similar pasts.
Yeah, so, you know, that shit takes over and you don't think about it while it's happening, but, you know, we're lucky enough where we kind of got past all that early enough before the band really... You know, really started kind of steamrolling, so...
Yeah.
But you guys help each other with that, or was it the other way around?
Absolutely. Yeah. Mickey helped me.
Yeah, it was like...
Mickey came over one day.
I think I always say the only difference, you know, when we talk about people in recovery, and like, the one thing we had such a good thing going for us. The band never really suffered from it. We still played all the time, and like, there was clearly, it was moving forward and had momentum. And I don't know if we didn't have that, I don't know if I would have been able to do it so easily. A lot of people don't have, like, the reason to really, like, live and, like, go for it. You know, a lot of
people with habits work a 9-to-5 or a mundane job.
I did it. I went to school and got straight A's.
They don't have anything to like excite them or like to be passionate about outside of getting high. So like, it was easy. It became for me and Ryan a physical addiction that we didn't want anymore, but we were stuck because we were just physically hooked on the shit. So like, I wanted out for a long time, and it was just a matter of like making the time to do it right and to like rebound and sort of get your head on straight. And that meant like taking a little bit of a break from touring and stuff so that it could happen. And you know,
I mean, like literally locking yourself in your house for 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know,
like, sweating it out.
Yeah,
horrible. Never.
I mean, I didn't do it the like classic way. I just took a lot of edibles. I think I ate like Decadose Chiba Chews all day long and just laid in bed and just sort of. I don't remember it really. And I kind of woke up like 2.5 weeks later and was like, oh, like,
I made it.
Here we go. And that was that, you know. And then Ryan, a couple months later, did it too. It was, you know, it was, I think just, I've always said one of us just had to do it.
Well, Mahali so came over to my house, I'll never forget. Knocked at the door and said, I need to talk to you. He's like, Ryan, I can't, I don't know if I can continue this band if you're still using and I'm not, and I'm quit. And I don't know if I can do that. I really ask you to help. And that day, I was like, Mickey, I'll do it tomorrow. And that was it.
Right on.
That's fucking...
Right on. Cause
that's a hard thing to do. Like, no, we like both did that. It was a lot
band.
Of friends
was
behind.
The reason we why we so
leave
were able
the
to
whole play. World behind you.
And I think that's whole, part of the reason you sound the way you sound. And you can do what you guys do.
We got to see them go through that, so that's why we never did it, because we saw that.
Did you? Were you worried? I mean, like, fuck, I'm gonna lose my band.
Oh, yeah, we were always talking about it because we were living together, and like they would come over and like the shit that they were doing was like, come on, guys, we know exactly what you're doing.
You know exactly.
But it was like,
you don't have to shit.
You know, when you talk to somebody who's going through that, though, you can't really say that because then they get like really offended. You know, so it's like
we just had to be supportive.
Hell, what are we gonna do? You know, we just really had to be patient and wait for them to make the change, because you can't change anybody. They have to make the change themselves. They decided to do that. That's the only reason we're here. Still. It's because they decided to make that change.
That's lucky we're not dead.
That's badass.
We continued.
And we were going to be there for no matter what.
Yeah. Right on, brother.
It's a hell of a thing.
We did the same
thing.
And
that's high fucking high five you, man, because dealing with some shit like that is hard from another person's perspective.
On a happier note, you talked about people having nothing to live for and stuff. Obviously, you have something to live for now and stuff. Do you all have kids? Are you married?
Or anything?
I'm married.
Okay.
I have a daughter and one on the way.
Oh, congratulations!
Thank you.
What do you do?
December, right around my daughter's birthday. They're going to be birthday buddies.
So how
this is going to not be cheap.
How do they deal with the schedule and the touring and all that? Like,
they're the best.
The women.
Yeah, let's hear all of it.
Oh my gosh, the women have to be just,
ride or dies.
Yeah, they are so supportive, and you know everyone in this band.
It's also too. There's definitely a. At least I feel like from all of the women in our lives, there's like a sense of pride, I feel like, with them for like what we do. You know, it's tough on them, but we're doing something that's unique and that's special and touches people with it. And so like they know that it's bigger than us, kind of too, and bigger than
they're
them.
Sharing.
And they kind of they get they're cool sharing us. With,
but
the world,
that's really what it is. You have to share your man, your woman, whatever it is, whatever the roles are.
And many a woman have not made it through.
Yes.
I bet.
Through the meat grinder.
Is that why there's only one each?
I mean, I've been with my mother for a decade, 10 years.
Oh, wow.
So she was at my hip during all that bad shit, too. So
right.
Yeah, we really went through a lot of years.
She really is your ride or die.
Yeah, she's the best.
I just took 5 years.
Like, such a sweetheart. Threw it all. You know, she saw the whole thing, you know, so... She's so used to it, but the touring, like I said, these guys take some time off, and I play like the solo stuff too. So like I have to start kind of just thinking about being better or giving myself more time off, because like I forget. It's so easy 6 months out to say, oh sure, like I have those weeks off, like let's book it, and then when the time comes to do it, you're like, fuck.
I don't know how you do it, man. Well, that's what he does, because he gets up to the day and he's just like, fuck. I gotta.
And we're like,
and the rest of us are like, hey, we're going home. And he's like,
I'm going to
fuck.
Spain.
And yeah.
Out there touring.
I'm gonna be in Ibiza hanging out on the beach, buddy.
So I wanna be on the beach.
So you brought something up though. You said that it's something bigger than us, right?
Yeah.
So
and we know that too now at this
right.
point too.
Now
how do you
get on stage.
sake. Sake?
Wow.
You brought it?
Sake break.
Oh.
Oh, is this where the cool kids hang out?
My
I made a monster out of it. I asked for sake one time.
And that did it.
Right. Take one down, pass
there's,
it around.
There's ice in that cooler, but if you guys need more, I need
it. Thank you. Lemon LaCroix.
Do ice. Keep them cold for them.
Okay. Alright, that was a sake break.
This is how it feels. Not my favorite.
You created a monster with the sake?
I did. Yeah, I started getting into sake and I was like, can we put sake on the rider? And I see Mickey perk up and he's like, it's not a bad idea. And now every time he's like, where's the sake?
When did you guys start noticing that it was bigger than you? Like when it was like a thing, not like just playing in the basement or just...
Yeah.
Like collectively making songs, like
oh shit.
Yeah, that's weird, right?
I mean, for me, it was when fans started coming up and being like, over, like, that was a great show. It was more, your band saved me from slitting my wrists, like,
what?
Last night.
Yeah.
So, of hanging myself. And I the first thought, like, oh, this, and it kept happening. Like, your band literally saved my life. It got me through this hard time of, you know, depression, all this stuff, when I was ready to just hang myself or shoot myself in the head.
Whoa.
And we've dealt with so many suicides, and, like,
wow.
To hear that over and over again was
yeah.
a big moment for me, like, wow, this music is actually helping people. It's not just like coming up, well, we got fucked up and it was a great show. I mean, that's fine
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's not like just fun music. It's
yeah,
like
no, it's
more than that.
Man. It's like people are living.
That was, I think, the switch also in like our success was when we started, when the music became more of a message, obviously because we lived through life. Like we got older
yeah.
and had problems and struggles and friends die. And this and that, and I was just writing about that.
Right.
And I was just trying to be honest in the writing about how, like, I was feeling, but trying to make it in a way where it's not really personally about me, it's sort of about everyone in our generation, our age group, I think started latching onto that and really, like, relating to it.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a lot out there that, you know, I guess sort of our thing is that, like, this stuff happens. Life can be really gnarly, but it can also be really great and really beautiful.
Yeah,
and it's sort of like up to you to do that, to like choose your path and how you take that. You know, nobody can force you or tell you to stop doing drugs and you're just gonna stop. But you have to really want to do it yourself. You have to find the strength inside.
Well,
to
the
like,
same way you start too, right?
Yeah.
Because nobody's like holding shit up to you. Maybe
right.
they'll, well, yeah, do you want this or do whatever?
Yeah.
But like to keep doing it, to keep finding it, to keep
yeah.
getting there, you gotta want to do that shit.
Oh yeah. It's also like
yeah.
close people, friends of ours passing away and writing about that kind of stuff. And you know, death is not an easy thing to deal with. And music is like a healer in the form of you can kind of just like let your emotions ride listening through something like that. And you know, we all experience that quite a bit, and so it's, you know, that's real. But you know, we have a bit of a thick exterior from it now, and like I feel like we're in a place where we just understand that this kind of stuff does happen, and it's not about being sad missing the person. It's about being happy and honored that you had the time with them to begin
yeah.
with, right?
Yeah.
So like, and that, and then when that happens, then every time you think of that person, you're not sad, you're happy, you're
oh,
smiling.
Yeah.
You go right to the good memories and stuff, and it's like it was an honor to have the time.
It's
at
like
least
the end
we
of
had
Big Fish, and it would just
yeah.
it just
yeah.
was
yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's fun. We were just
I
talking about
that
the other
night.
Day.
It was on TV
last night.
Night.
How about that movie?
I was like,
dude, that movie has a special. Kelly, when it's
dead, touched so many people's lives.
I was watching that movie, and the end came in. I'll never forget that end scene's happening, and I'm all emotional. And Kelly comes down the stairs, like gripping the rail, and she goes, we gotta go. It's happening.
Oh,
and
shit.
And so
oh, wow.
I like grabbed her and put her in the car and raced straight to the hospital, and we
no
had Hattie.
Way.
That was like how it happened. I was
the
just sitting on the couch being like, watching Big Fish, getting all emotional. And I'm like, I love this movie. It's such a beautiful part.
Oh, so
and I hear her sort of being like, oh. I'm like, are you okay? And this year coming down the stairs, like gripping the railing really hard in contractions. Like, we gotta go.
Time
like,
to go now.
Yeah, I was
wow.
like, okay, let's do it.
Wow.
And it was a quick labor. Hattie was born like 3 hours later. Like it happened super fast. She came right up.
So what?
Wow.
A lot of dads, I know I did, had that experience of like when you see your kid for the first time, man.
Oh my god.
The fucking whole world changes.
You know what I thought? I thought
holy shit, she looks just like me. Like,
that was the really the one thing I thought. That was the first thought.
She
was like,
literally does.
Whoa. Yeah. Like, that was like even as a baby, you know? Like, it was a weird thing. I don't know why that was my first thought. And I was like
probably
so exhausted.
Like,
yeah.
No, she really does.
It was like a shotgun thing. I was so tired.
I gotta go.
And I remember like looking at Kelly, like, how is she? All the visitors are coming in, and I'm passed out in the chair. Like, I couldn't wake up. Can't wait to see that.
So we won't keep you much longer. Just one more thing.
Yeah.
So in that bigger thing, there's a responsibility in that. You guys recognize that, I'm sure. Like,
for sure.
How does that make you feel personally? Like, I know for me, and this is not the same thing, sort of is, but not. Like, we get people writing us letters like, I had to pull my car over listening to your show the other day, and like, fuck, crying, man, I'm not gonna live like that no more, blah, blah, blah. It's the same weird kind of shit that happens.
Yeah.
And I feel it, man. I feel that stuff come on me. Like, it's a thing when you put it out. So when you put out the music, you're putting out yourself. You're exposed like that.
Yeah.
Do you, in that responsibility, like, how do you handle that? Because that's something for me that's new.
I just don't think about it. I just keep on keeping on.
It's too scary to think this life.
You just stay true to yourself. Just,
yeah.
Believe in the music you put out. Have your heart behind it and know that no matter what it is, you feel good about it. And
people appreciate honesty, too.
Humility.
A lot of people are like, you know, at first my wife would be like, don't tell people you're an addict. But no, now she understands. Like, you gotta...
You need to, I know, and it is kind of, but you can be like, it's personal, it's so personal, but you can save people though with your story.
This is probably like people
and
know
that's a responsibility.
People know we had problems due to our songs, but maybe this might be one of the first interviews I've ever really talked
about. Yeah, we've never really even talked about this.
We don't really go down there, especially because like a lot in the back then, like we got. People could tell, I think, and you know, we were getting a lot of hate on it. Oh, those guys are just fucking junkies, you know,
people
like whatever.
Still say,
we can't get it.
Yeah, Mickey will like, mess up a couple notes and they'll be like, oh, he's bad on dope. It's like so stupid.
Yeah, but that's
so stupid.
Whatever.
It's like shut the fuck up.
It's more like for me, the reason I don't talk about it is because like I said before, I didn't do it the traditional way, and I think a lot of people need to do it that way. I don't think most people can just lock themselves in the room and eat weed food and come out strong and go for it. Like, you gotta do the real thing. So I don't tell people that usually because I don't want them thinking that's the right way to do it. That was the right way to do it for me. I had already done the, like, detox center a couple times. It didn't work. Like, I knew I was so done with it, I just wanted it to get out of my system.
Yeah,
and
you
I
were
knew,
done.
And I needed the time.
And it's not like they always say you have to replace that addiction with something.
Yeah.
You had something in place with
these
guys.
I just had
guys.
Something that just essentially knocked me out. So I mean, I'm sure it was rough, but I wasn't throwing up or anything. I just don't really remember it. I just remember kind of coming out of it, being like, okay, I don't need to eat that anymore. Like, I feel better, you know?
I'll eat less of that.
I mean, I still eat, yeah.
I mean, I'm confident if you guys want anything.
Some people need to just be sober, and like, that's the, I know some people that like, if they smoke some weed, they're going to go right back to it.
They're
going to
get cracked.
It's a steamroll, you know?
Yeah.
That's why like when people, I guess that's why I don't talk about it, because I still drink and I still smoke weed, and I know that I have that, it's in me, so I have to be careful. I don't consider weed a drug. I smoke a lot. I always have. I always will. That never stopped, and I don't look at that as like an addiction that's being harmful. Alcohol is different. You can get caught up in that, so that is something we all watch. You know, we have to, especially this life. But that's why I don't talk about it, because I don't want. Some people need to just like really do it the right way.
I appreciate that.
I
really
want
appreciate
people
that.
Saying, well, he did it like that, so I'll be fine. I can do it like that.
Yeah.
Because everybody looks up to the rock star and wants to do what they do.
It's just, I just don't want to give bad advice, and I'm certainly not like a poster boy for being sober. And so I think people think that because we went through this, think that none of us do anything, and that's just not the case. So we were lucky, like I said,
that's
we were lucky enough to like figure it out early on. And, you know, it didn't have to be on such a, you know, I think I made one post about it, sort of apologizing to fans of the way I had been for the last few years. That was the only time I ever touched on
it. That was like 5 years ago.
Was just a post of like, hey, I'm sorry that this is how I was, but I fixed it, and I'm feeling better now, and I'm ready to go out and do that, you know? And I remember everyone was like, he's smiling. Like, he's smiling on stage.
Yeah.
Like, look, he's smiling.
Because you guys are known for that, like, now.
Back then, it was like, shut head down, going, doing the thing.
Same lyrics?
A lot of the songs changed. A lot of the songs came after. When I Raise the Boards, I wrote before all that. Even.
Really?
That's an old song. Yeah, that didn't. That there's a line in there. The
pills,
second
pills that pass the time.
No, it was drinks. That was about my girlfriend. Not take pills. Yeah. No, the second verse is about having withdrawals and not being about. Able to sleep, your mind will win the race, burning by your sleep again.
Yeah.
That like whole little first passage was me just writing about like not being able to sleep because you're jonesing, so your legs are like you can't get the restless legs. Yeah, that's the worst. You know what I mean?
It's the worst.
I don't know if a lot of people know that, and I like to write music that is open to interpretation. So a lot of time I don't tell you what it's about for me because it could mean something else to that person. So a lot of times I get that question. It's like, well, what do you think it means? And then if they give me an answer, I say, well, there you go.
However, I found out Franklin's Tower is about a fucking bell. Like, what? No. <Yeah. laughs> Don't tell me that. I don't want to know that.
Yes, but, I mean...
The last verse of that song, though, is about his wife.
Yeah.
And it took him, like, months to write the song. I remember being like, the song is great. It's very sad, but, like... And he came back with that last verse, like, totally taking all the negative and, like, he met his wife and...
Wonderful positives.
And she changed...
That was when we first started seeing each other. It was, like, the first month. I wrote a lot of songs about her in that time. And it was like I just had two verses, and the song was a sad song. The Rain Supports really didn't have a happy
really
ending. It was, like, it was just... Shit sucks, and it keeps sucking, and it's sucking even more.
So she came to help you finish the song.
When she came into my life, I started writing about my girlfriend at the time, whose father had died, and I was trying to write something to her that was saying, like, don't worry about it, it's going to be okay. And that was the two verses. And when we broke up, and it was kind of weird, and then I started seeing Kelly, and that was, like, the light at the end of it for me, and that's when the third verse came out, and I finished the song.
Yep, I remember that.
It was happy, and then I married her.
Well, a good woman will change everything.
Years
a good woman does change everything.
Fuck yeah.
Damn.
Totally. Guys, thank you for your time, man.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It.
I just want to say one last thing real quick.
We were talking the other day. All of us have like that whole saving the lives thing. Everything. We all have a soundtrack to our lives. It's been there since we started as little kids. And you guys are part of our soundtrack to our lives.
You have been for a while. We appreciate you taking the time. And the honesty.
Thanks,
this
Molly.
Is great, man.
Turning into flames. Soon they knew that strange, trembled up and turned to gray.
vortex of a little crystal from the sky. Oh, I'm just like blinky covers of a loving night. And underneath the sun, spending glitter all around. The wind blows softly like a lullaby through sound. And all this is happening while your mind's preoccupied. The ugly way a man that keeps us down and makes us high. Underneath the moonlight. One great sea splashes down upon the ground. Love ain't the magic created life to swim around. The sun burned hotter as the earth grew taller. It was beauty overwhelming all the night with the armor. Soaring above the sky, they crawled upon the earth. Life was blooming sweetly as the world was giving birth.
Of the current role.